what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And joining me as always, he is your next king of the ring, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, you ready for your trip to Abu Dhabi and Crown Jewel?
Eddie, it is great to talk to you. Of course I am. I would love to go to Abu Dhabi. And I'm still actually disappointed that I didn't make it to Abu Dhabi last year when the UFC was going there in the height of COVID. I probably could have made it happen.
I mean, I'm sure your wife would have enjoyed the life insurance money, but she'd probably rather have you around, or, as goofy as you are.
I mean, would she have appreciated me being gone for a month? Because that's what you had to do. You had to leave for like a month to like quarantine out there and go and watch the fights and stay and watch all the fights. I don't think I could have pulled that off.
Yeah, well, instead of you being around all day every day, it might have been better.
She might. I mean, you put us in the year right now. That could be the case. Eddie, you can follow us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find me at Nonstop MMA. And like Eddie said, you can find him at Eddie Experience, one E in the middle. Eddie, it's right. After a terrible, I'm going to say it. It was a terrible sports weekend.
Yes.
Between Texas and Oklahoma State, between BYU and Baylor, the fights weren't great. The Dodgers are down 2-0 after two walk-off finishes. I'm not very happy.
The Astros are down 2-1 after, what, three grand slams?
Oh, my gosh.
Who hits three grand slams?
And like, and it's crazy about those games. I mean, I'm actually okay about that. The Astros being down, Eddie. But,
yeah, I bet you are.
But I don't like the Red Sox either, right? But they all that scoring happened so early on Monday night when I was watching it. I'm like, oh, the score's like, what, 8-0? I'm like, oh, it's the second inning. Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a distinct lack of pitching. I mean, it's one thing to score, get a lot of people on base. It's another thing to, when the base is loaded, just throw a fat one right down the middle. I'm like, oh, grand slam. Who'd have thought it? I'm just sitting there with my head in my hands. When my other option was to watch the Titans and the Bills. I'm like, just shoot me.
Yeah.
I'll watch wrestling instead.
No, there's not a great sports weekend. BYU didn't show up to play. Texas, well, they were ahead, and then that ended poorly.
Man, I don't know if these guys are front runners or they just have bad cardio, but I can tell you that game turned on two big plays. One was a horse collar tackle when they were about to get Oklahoma State off the field in the first quarter. They ended up getting a field goal. And I knew as soon as that penalty was thrown, they were going to score. And the other, of course, was that interception for a touchdown. Those 10 points right there, completely different ball game. Completely different feeling.
Yeah.
Completely different feeling to the Autumn of Eddie.
Yeah. I'm sorry the Autumn of Eddie did not have a great week for you. Eddie, let me tell you something. I just sent you a text message. Monday, after we recorded our show, I started to feel like, oh, gosh, I'm a little itchy. Gosh, my arm is bugging me. It's hurting. And itchy. I just sent you a picture of, that's my arm right there in the picture. I got poison ivy.
Yeah. You got to warn me before, you got to tell me that before I look at the picture, dude.
I got poison ivy. So I got poison ivy. I ended up getting it when I was in Louisiana. And I had a cut on my arm and it was like,
it was a dirty place.
And it was a little red around it, but I didn't think much of it because I wasn't itching. And then like 4 or 5 days later, I'm like, this is looking like it's going, like spreading a little bit. And finally, I think it was on Tuesday of last week, Eddie, I had to go to the doctor. I went to urgent care and I got a shot and I had to get a steroid shot to start, you know, and then I put this topical cream on, but that was the worst of it, where it was just like bright red and it had spread to my legs, had spread to, because I just couldn't stop itching it. I had a terrible night's sleep where I just couldn't get comfortable, and I sleep on my face, right? And so my hand is under my pillow and I didn't want to sleep and like get that rash on my face next. Like that would have been a problem. Right. But golly, it was terrible. Eddie, I will give you the option. If you would like to post that, so people know what we're talking about, you can do that. But it's gross.
I'll put it on the story so it disappears during the day.
Yeah.
But did you just like sleep with like a sleeve over it or something?
Finally, I just put a long sleeve shirt on. I put a long sleeve shirt on And I was like, I wore a long sleeve shirt and then I wash them every day, right? Because I don't want to have like poison ivy residue in there. And like the topical cream that they put on, it's not so much of a cream as like a like oil that doesn't blend in, like doesn't blend into your skin. Like it just stays there like for a while. Oh. And so it just feels like greasy and gross. Oh man, it was not great. I was not happy.
Yeah, that is not cool at all, man.
Drake never got it, which is great for him. But it was me. I ended up with it.
So you think you got it in Louisiana?
I do. Because
I was thinking maybe back there in your backyard.
Yeah.
And all that wilderness you got. I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised there. But actually three other people, when I said like, oh man, guys, looks like I ended up with poison ivy. And they had said, I'm also dealing with poison ivy right now as well. So I think
what were you guys doing?
We were cutting down. So, I mean, obviously, you know, when you have a hurricane, the trees that get just you know, branches and into over houses. And in the parts of Louisiana, we were in Gonzales, so south of Baton Rouge, there was a lot of mobile homes that the trees had kind of fallen into on top of the mobile homes. And so we were removing brush, removing trees away from their house. And so there was this one house that we had to go back and just kind of remove trees and bushes and brush. And that's where I think I caught on the last house on Saturday.
Okay. Well, you know, they say no good deed goes unpunished.
Yes, I do know that. They say that. That was not great.
And that is a hell of a punishment for you right there, man.
Well, it's not going to.
It's disgusting.
You know, not going to keep me from doing good deeds, okay?
You filthy, dirty man.
Yeah. I will tell you, though, Eddie, have you seen the new Bond yet?
I have not.
We have not either, but we are watching them consecutively. Not like going back to like Sean Connery and like Roger. Oh, okay. What's Roger?
Roger Moore.
Yeah, not there. I'm not even going to Pierce Brosnan. Okay, we're just watching the Daniel Craig ones, and we just started. I think we're three in. Marlo actually checked out when on Skyfall when she's like, oh, this is the Home Alone part of James Bond when they have to go to the old house and like they don't use the guns and so like they're gonna booby trap the house like like Kevin McAllister does in Home Alone.
Why don't I remember that? Did I not see that one?
Did you see Skyfall? It is a good one. But we got to watch Spectre, and then we'll watch No Time to Die. So,
which one was the one where he's running around on the roof on Mexico? The running around on roofs in Mexico.
Ooh, is that the last one? No, I think that's Quantum of Solace. And then they like run like and they go like through like the glass into the market.
I think so.
I believe it's Quantum
of
Solace.
Day of the Dead or something.
So now now those three are kind of running in my head together, but I do remember seeing that. So,
all right, quick question.
Yeah. Daniel Craig.
Who is your best?
Daniel Craig.
James, really?
Yeah, I think he's fantastic. He is great. Who is yours?
I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this.
It's Pierce Brosnan. No,
it's Roger Moore, man.
Okay.
When I was a kid, Roger Moore was Bond, and just his kind of a smarmy, like slick type of secret agent. That's what I grew up on as James Bond. And for me, everyone else pales in comparison because they're just too like stone-faced and
serious. Well, you are smarmy. I've always thought that of you, Eddie.
I am slick too.
If you your head is slick, just the bald head, right? So if you could pick who the next James Bond is, who would it be?
Oh, if it's not Idris Elba, it's that guy from Game of Thrones.
Like Kit?
Not Jon Snow. Yeah.
I think Jon.
Not Kit. It was one of his brothers.
I like
his name.
I do like the idea of Idris Elba. I also like Tom Hardy. I think he'd be a good James Bond. Bane.
I forget what he looks like.
Bane.
Oh, Bane.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was in The Warrior, or in Warrior, the MMA movie. He was the brother that hurt his shoulder. Tom Hardy. Come on, you know he's been a lot of different things.
Wait, it was the guy. I think he's in the other one I was saying from Game of Thrones is in a show called Bodyguard, I believe, right now.
I don't know. So
that's yeah. No. Anyway, yeah. My Bond is Roger Moore.
Okay.
And I don't know how people hate on it, but you guys can suck it.
Hey, Eddie, I'm looking.
Richard Madden.
Okay,
that was him.
I'm looking through. The notes for this show, and I don't like what you've written already. You're going to a Clippers game on Saturday to boo Kawhi Leonard?
I might.
You know he won't.
So the autumn of
you know
Eddie,
he won't
the
be
autumn
there,
of Eddie
right?
Continues.
He won't be there.
No, I don't know.
He won't be there. He tore his ACL. He's not going to be playing, and he probably won't be there.
I can just boo him anyway.
So save your money. Don't boo.
The Lakers play like right at the time I arrive on Friday, so won't be able to make that.
Who do the Clippers play?
The Grizzlies.
Oh, Ja Morant. That's it. That's not bad. So
yeah. So it might still be worth it, especially if I get the cheap seats.
So you're,
and I would be going with the cheap seats.
Yeah. No. Unfortunately, it's really not. I mean, getting there, parking, everything else, never always.
Yeah.
Never cheap. So you're going to who's playing? Who's plays? UCLA is the game you're going to. I remember.
UCLA, Oregon at UCLA.
Okay.
And College Game Day is going to be there.
Nice. Are you going to wake up early Saturday morning and go?
Oh, hell no. My cousin's excited about that because he is an early riser. But I'm like, no, it's going to be over at 9 a.m. local time.
Yeah. That's an early morning. What time is the UCLA Oregon game?
12:30 Pacific.
Okay. So you'll have time if you wanted to go to the Clippers game. And are you going to the Rams game on Sunday?
I think I am, yeah.
Look at you.
My flight doesn't leave until 6 o'clock local time. Rams play at 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock Pacific.
Okay. Oh, they're the afternoon game.
Yeah, it turns out SoFi is pretty close to LAX.
It is. It's right in Inglewood. And right where Forum is, it's very close. Right on the 105.
I just have to drop off my bag at the airport before going to the game. Backtrack a little bit. And my cousin leaves earlier, so I'd be flying solo at that point. But yeah. Rose Bowl, SoFi Stadium.
Clippers.
I might hit the Staples Center. Maybe. Might go to a comedy club instead. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
It's a full weekend all of a sudden.
Well, look at you.
Autumn of Eddie rolls on.
Autumn of Eddie continues. Well, Eddie, I am...
Despite Texas football trying to put a halt to it.
Yeah, and I know you're a Cowboys fan, so that's good, right?
No.
Oh, you're not a Cowboys fan? You like the Oilers?
Don't make me punch you. Don't even bring up the Oilers.
How about Justin Fields? Hey, actually, I did want to bring that up.
It's great that the Cowboys are good, though.
I did want to bring this up.
We are the home of the Cowboys.
I forgot this. How do you feel about Aaron Rodgers saying he owns you? Like, just do you hate Aaron Rodgers so much right now?
With the white hot heat of a thousand suns, and it was before Sunday.
I know.
I already hated him. Just reinforced it.
I know. I thought of you when that happened. I was like, oh man, I can't wait to talk to Eddie about that.
Hey, listen, I got two words for him.
I'm not gonna let you say it. All right, Bellator 268 Saturday night on Showtime. Vadim Nemkov defeated. He survived. Vadim Nemkov survived. You know, got a little scary in the beginning, but you know, ultimately, fourth round submission finish. Kimura moves on. He defends his belt. He's gonna go on. He's in the grand finale in the finals of the light heavyweight tournament. He defeated Julius Anglicas. But the big surprise for me was Corey Anderson.
It was a big surprise for Ryan Bader, too.
Well, yes, 51 seconds was all he needed to punch his ticket. I thought this was going to be a snooze fest, right? And I forgot that Corey Anderson has kind of reinvigorated himself since coming to Bellator. You think about that, right? You know, since going to Bellator, he finished Melvin Bantenhoof with TKO, right? He defeated Yagshimuradov with a TKO. That was in the third round. And now Ryan Bader. But before that, right, he did have that KO win over Johnny Walker, but decision over Lair Latifi, decision over Glover Teixeira, decision over Patrick Cummins. A lot of decision fights for Corey Anderson. And like you would think that both these guys have wrestling, and it could be a boring kind of neutralized fight. And so I wasn't really, you know, when I saw that, I was definitely surprised that Corey Anderson got the win that way.
You know, it's funny. Fight fans have a way of deciding what a person is and then just sticking with that in their head forever. You know, it's like we decided Corey Anderson was just boring and sucks. And, you know, it's just been stuck in our head. But he's been in Bellator for a couple years now, and he's made drastic improvements. We've decided that Conor McGregor is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And even though he's on a huge losing streak, that's just stuck in people's head, and he's still an attraction. And somehow we can't turn the page and go, oh, hey, maybe this guy is good and I should pay attention to him until he does something outstanding that kind of slaps us in the face.
Yeah. Looking at the finale here now, Vadim Nemkov versus Corey Anderson, I might actually pick Corey Anderson to win this fight. I mean, I think he could definitely do it.
He could, but I think everyone's giving Vadim a little too much criticism for what happened. Against Anglicas.
Anglicas, yes.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it came in on a short notice. You don't know much about the guy. He doesn't have a Wikipedia page. You know, how much tape can you find on the guy, right? So he gets caught early, gets kind of put on his butt, but then he comes back and kind of just dominates the next couple rounds. So it's not like he had a bad performance, but he was kind of shocked.
Yeah.
It was a little like Lando Venata and Tony Ferguson, you know?
Yes, that's true.
In the end, the better fighter did win out. But you remember that shocking performance at the beginning that put guy on his butt.
It made like, you. It made you a fan now. Of Groovy Lando for life.
It made me a Groovy fan. Yeah, exactly. Just what I was saying. We have a habit of just sticking with that one impression.
It did.
But yeah, it's going to be a good fight with him and Nemkov because they are both much better than people realize. And, you know, I'm kind of excited for that one.
Bellator expects that fight's going to happen in early 2022. Bellator president Scott Coker, he said that this is to determine the number one the number one light heavyweight in the world. And if you look at it, right, you got Corey Anderson, who actually does have a win over Jan Blachowicz. It was a decision win back in 2015. His last fight in the UFC was the KO loss to Jan Blachowicz. But he also has a win over Glover Teixeira. These are both guys that are going to be fighting for the UFC light heavyweight title later this month. And so, you know, if Vadim Nemkov could get a big win over Corey Anderson, who's got a win over both of those guys, or Corey Anderson, I mean, you could make a case, especially with John Jones really out of the picture in general right now.
Right.
You could make a case that Bellator has the best light heavyweight in the world.
And we had been making a case for a while that their light heavyweight division had surpassed the UFC's because of the talent influx that they had with, you know, Bader and Anderson, Rumble, Yoel Romero moving up at light heavyweight. So it can't be a surprise.
Yeah.
But it is a surprise which one of those guys is up there in the finals, though.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
No one thought Corey Anderson would be there.
Well, I mean, we also were disappointed when Yoel Romero was removed early in the tournament, right? He was supposed to fight Rumble Johnson in that first round. He had to move out. I think there's an eye issue that he had. And then Anthony Rumble Johnson was actually supposed to be fighting against Vadim Nemkov. So it wasn't exactly the way we wanted to see this tournament go. But at the end of the day, right, I mean, this is pretty close to who we could have picked to be in the finals, right? We would have picked Vadim Nemkov, and that would have been on the Rumble Johnson and Yoel Romero side. And we would have picked either...
I don't know.
We probably would have picked Bader over Corey Anderson, but, you know, it's not that far off from what we would have expected at the end. Seems like the right people are there.
Yeah, I would have picked probably Rumble and Bader.
Okay.
I don't think Nemkov's been hit by anyone like Rumble Johnson.
Yeah, but
ever.
I mean, but the problem with Rumble is that he has been gone for so long, and I'm not sure what he's been doing. So,
yes, true.
All right. Well,
he's been smoking a lot.
That's true. Let's jump over to UFC. Norman Dumont defeated Aspen Ladd, and it wasn't the most exciting fight, and it was a snooze fest, Eddie.
It was. I caught the card just as this fight was starting.
Well, you missed out then. You missed out on some good stuff before because, let me tell you, 42-year-old Andre Arlovski keeps winning. It's crazy to think that he's still getting a win. And then Jim Miller, right? This was his 50th professional fight, his 38th fight in the UFC. He got his first knockout win over Eric Gonzalez. That was his first knockout win, I think they said on the broadcast, since UFC 200 against Gomi. He's one of only two people right to fight on both UFC 100 and UFC 200. He's thinking maybe he's going to try to fight at UFC 300. That would be impressive.
That would be awesome. But you'd really have to be into the old man fights by then.
Well, yeah. He does now, with that win, he's tied for most finishes in the lightweight division. He's second in UFC wins. He's got 22 of them. He's one behind Cowboy Cerrone. So that's kind of the stuff that you missed earlier on. But I'm glad you got in and watched kind of write this fight because this was interesting, and there's so much more being made of it that's beyond just the fight.
Oh, it really is. And like I said, when I got to it and I started watching it, and I just glazed over. There was nothing going on. I don't know if Aspen Ladd got hit too hard or maybe taking the fight on short notice and her cardio wasn't great, but she was like a robot, but a bad robot.
Just inactive, right? I think it was just so limited on punches.
Like, she was there, but just not doing anything.
It's like she took that fight, right, because of what had happened previous weeks before, and maybe she wasn't mentally ready to go and just could never mentally get into gear, even when her corner was trying to trigger her. And what happened before was that this is kind of where it comes down from, and you heard this on the broadcast, was that, hey, These two, they have a special relationship. This her coach, Jim West. It's her coach and her boyfriend, right? And the last time, it wasn't the last fight, but I think that was the Randomy fight. But previously in a fight, right, she was losing, and then she was able to. He came in. He gave that same kind of pep talk in the corner. That was the Yana Kunitskaya fight. That was the last fight that she had. She came back out and KO'd her in the third round of the fight, and it was like, hey, you need to go. He got in her face. And like, got her pumped up and ready to go. And he tried some of that same thing. So what we're hearing right now is, or what we saw in the fight is there's criticism over the way that he talked to her. Hey, what are you doing? You need to get into gear. And UFC's actually done a pretty good job. Maybe it's BT Sport of capturing all 5 minutes, right, of the in between. Excuse me, all in the four in between the five rounds, capturing the corner conversation. And when you go back when you're watching it, like. It's not that he is like, he's not mocking her, right? But he's trying to get her into gear. And we don't know the relationship, right? We don't know how it is. And so I don't really have an issue with it.
No, I listened to that and I'm just sitting here going, like, who was it? Misha Tate said, that's abuse. So I'm sitting here listening. I'm like, so I'm waiting on the abuse. And I'm waiting. Does he call her like a dumbass or, you know, does he belittle her? No. He just says, what are you doing? Now, if you want to say that it wasn't tactical, okay, agreed. But there was another coach, you know, telling her about the, you know, the jabs and the ones
and
twos.
Yeah, I mean, but even on so early on, I mean, he was
so
talking
so he was trying to be...
Yeah, even... Yeah,
so Wes was just trying to be more motivational. And there was nothing abusive about it. Now, did it work? No, it did not work. But like I said, maybe she just got punched in the face too hard and... It's a little different when you're the one out there getting punched.
It was interesting, right? Yeah. Like she was just silent, right? He would ask her questions, and especially in that fourth round, fourth going to fifth, he was asking her, "What are you doing?" And like she just couldn't respond, right? Or she wouldn't respond. And you know, I think back to playing sports before. Gosh, I mean, our coach said much worse things to us.
Oh my God!
And you know, we probably needed it, right? And it helped us to motivate us sometimes, and sometimes it didn't, right? Sometimes we were just like, "This guy's a jerk," but. You know, it was that's just kind of how it is. And we know that sports. And I don't think like people are making a sense out of it. Like, oh, because it's a man to a woman. What if this had been a man? Like, I think Laura Senko was like, hey, if this was a man to a man, would this been an issue? A lot of people coming are very much split right on this. And I'm on the camp with you, Eddie. I don't really have a big issue on this one.
Yeah. Like I saw some fighters tweet that it wasn't constructive criticism, you know, wasn't tactical. And okay, you can agree with that.
Sure. That's fine.
But. Not everything has to be X's and O's. And the way that she was responding, or like you said, not responding, like she just wasn't there mentally.
Yeah, I agree.
And he was trying to snap her out of it. Whatever funk she was in, he was trying to snap her out of it. And X's and O's aren't going to snap her out of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fight. You got to dig down. And if what are you doing, what are you thinking, is what you consider abuse for a fighter, they're not meant to be fighting.
Yeah, well, that could be... You know, I'll let you stay by that stand by that that phrase yourself, Eddie. You do look at Norma Dumont. What does she do next? I mean, you would think that she's going to fight against Amanda Nunes for the featherweight title. There's really nobody else right in the division
because she's the number one ranked featherweight.
And I mean, actually, she's not because there's no rankings.
There's no
rankings. I don't know what you do. I mean. You know,
I think she is called for a interim featherweight title
against who?
Holly Holm.
Holly Holm. Do you think Holly Holm wants to fight there? I mean,
if it's for a belt and the next shot at Nunes, why not?
I have heard people talk about what about Kayla Harrison? Right, Kayla Harrison. We know that her contract ends.
Ooh.
What if she comes and maybe put an interim between her and Norma Dumont?
Or just have her fight Dumont next, and the winner gets Nunes.
Or just put her...
Doesn't even need an interim.
Yeah, and you never know, so... All right, man. Yeah. Well, that is UFC... Gosh, what was this? UFC Vegas 50?
Vegas 40.
40. Vegas 40. Yeah. Bellator 268. And our terrible sports weekend, guys. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
What's up with that?
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that?
What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? You, yeah. Woo! Well.
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, AM 1260, 101.9, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify.
Spotify. We are on Spotify. You will find us.
All right, wherever you get your tip.
You can find us at Fight Night ATX on Spotify.
There we go. Everywhere you want to stick something in your ear, that's where we are. And Jordan, I got to say, this past Saturday night was the best SNL so far this season. They're cold open with the NFL and the John Gruden stuff.
Yeah.
It was so much better than the last couple.
I would agree.
And then that thing with the Squid Game song. Now, granted, I did just watch Squid Games.
Have you finished it?
Yeah, I did.
I'm only through like episode 3, so.
Oh, okay.
But it's good. I enjoy it.
Keep quiet.
I enjoy. Don't spoil it.
You have until next week.
Are you going to dress like 456 for Christmas?
Christmas?
Halloween.
That would be weird.
Yeah.
I did think about getting a Squid Games jumpsuit.
I could see you in like the other guy's mask, like the triangle or the square or circle mask.
That would be cooler, but if I got the contestant jumpsuit, the player jumpsuit, I could be
311.
Player number 311.
Yes, you could be. Yeah. Is there a place where you can pick the number?
Yeah, I saw you can get a customized number on Amazon.
Oh, my gosh. Of course.
But to get it in time for Halloween, it would have been like $100. I'm like, I don't even have a Halloween party to go to. So it just would have just been a waste of money.
You're like, no one's invited me to anything.
No, I don't want to go to a party. I'm like, get out of here. Dear COVID parties. Go away.
You're wearing a mask. Don't worry. It'll be fine.
There's no mask for the players. But yeah. All right. Now, someone who seems to be playing his own kind of Squid Game. Conor McGregor is accused of punching out a DJ. What in the world is up with that?
Yeah. Well, Conor's out in Rome right now. He's vacationing. He actually had his third son baptized at the Vatican. So,
wow.
He did. This is big time. So he's
That is so Conor.
And so after you get your son baptized at the Vatican, you hang out with a local DJ because that's just kind of what you do. Anyway, so yeah, this Italian DJ Francesco
They get to ride a scooter and go ciao.
I don't know what they do. Francesco Facinetti said that he and his wife were hanging out with McGregor and his fiancée, Dee Devlin, and he attacked him for no reason. Facinetti said that he intends to sue McGregor for the incident. He said that there's 10 witnesses, including bodyguards. His wife had said that she originally thought that they were just joking around, but saw McGregor's bodyguards holding him back, her husband bleeding. This is another, like, another step. Like, last month it was, like, the whole Machine Gun Kelly thing. Now it's a DJ in Italy. It's an old guy at a bar.
Don't forget the phone in Miami when he smashed that guy's phone. Conor can't go on vacation.
Well, they actually said, like, don't – this guy is dangerous. He's unstable. Do not come up to him. Do not approach him. Do not ask him for an autograph. That's what the DJ said, because this person will hurt you. And he might, right? Maybe that's what it is. But Conor, I mean, this guy is still recovering from breaking his leg. Like, what are we doing? Why are we fighting people in the streets, Conor?
It's like a mob movie, you know, when all of a sudden you don't know you've insulted the guy. The next thing you know, he just, like, punched you in the mouth. Conor is just a straight
gangster.
Thug mobster.
He is a gangster.
It's weird. He is a little street rat from Ireland. And anytime he gets a little proper number 12 in him, it comes right back, apparently. He can't be trusted. Him and John Jones both need to sober up.
That's true.
They cannot be trusted around alcohol. It's ridiculous. And who wants to punch a guy named Francesco Facinetti? He just sounds like he'll be serving you like the best pasta ever.
But he's a DJ. So he's, instead of delivering pasta, he's delivering you beats. Right. So.
Right, but that's beats with an A, not two E's. I'll be here all night. All right. Speaking of John Jones, he has been asked to leave Jackson Wink MMA in Albuquerque, his home gym. What's up with that?
I like how you crack yourself. First off, I love how you crack yourself up. I'm just over here not laughing at all. It's not funny. And you just think, you think like you're the most hilarious guy ever. Like what you don't see right now, and I'm on video, Eddie is like visibly like his chest up and down laughing at his own jokes right now. So it's all right. Well, so Eddie.
The later gets the worse my humor is.
Oh my gosh. All right. So Mike Winklejohn, who is the trainer over at Jackson Wink, he spoke with Ariel Helwani last week and told him that John's actually not allowed to train at Winklejohn at Jackson Wink MMA anymore until he quits drinking. He said that he can work with individual coaches outside of the gym. He just can't come back in. He said, look, we've had conversations before. I don't like that we've had to get to this way. It hurts me to do this, but it had to be done. John put out a tweet later that said he had a heartbreaking conversation over the phone with one of my longtime coaches last night. It really hurts to lose the support of someone I respect so much. Sincere thank you to the rest of the coaches for staying in the fight with me. Our journey continues. So I don't love that reaction from John Jones. And especially,
it doesn't sound like he learned his lesson.
He really doesn't. And just even like the video of John Jones and his wife like making out on Instagram on the story that later got after the incident to say like, hey, we're all good. Or to be like just like going after media members. It's not a great look for John Jones, and Jones does need to clean up his act, because he's just, the potential there is, you know, the 30 for 30 obviously on John's going to be incredible.
Oh my God.
And you hope that it's got a happy ending, and you want him to be, you don't want him to, you know, squander the greatness that he has and the potential that he has.
So the question is, who's left for him to listen to? You know, he's not listening to his management. Dana White's not telling him anything. I guess his brothers are the only people left that can tell him what to do, that can straighten him up. I mean, who can tell, like, the baddest man on the planet what to do? On a lighter note, Jordan, former heavyweight champ Junior Dos Santos had his debut pro wrestling match. What's up with that?
So that's not something I ever thought I would hear. When I thought of, like, Junior Dos Santos leaving fighting, him going to fight in professional wrestling was definitely, I would have put my money on bare-knuckled fighting. Because of just the brain cells that he lost, unfortunately, in those four fights against
Cain Velasquez. What about just regular boxing?
I mean, regular boxing, but I think bare knuckle is unfortunately the way to go for Junior. But the former UFC heavyweight champion, the former baddest man on the planet, stepped into the squared circle last week in AEW. And for his troubles, he was slammed through a table. But he was in a six-man tag match with Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page, and they were against Sammy Guevara, Jake Hager, the former Bellator, I guess he's a current Bellator MMA fighter, and Chris Jericho. Guys, I know this is sounding terrible to you listening to, that we're talking about wrestling right here. Stu Myrick, Justin Simmons, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling coming up next. They will hopefully talk about this. But at the end of the day, Jorge Masvidal came in, ended up hitting his a flying knee on Jericho when Paige VanZant distracted him. It sounds like he does have more opportunity there, that he's going to be back more. So, excited for Junior Santos. I'm actually glad that he's not doing something like bare knuckle fighting. And, you know, this is a really interesting dynamic, right, for Dan Lambert and all the guys at AT&T to get this opportunity.
Yeah, I really thought it was more of just not a career path for JDS, just something that just popped up. And I thought he was going to focus more on boxing. I hear Cain Velasquez might be back to wrestling now that his knee is healed. But, yeah, I didn't expect to see him going towards wrestling at all. Like I said, I was thinking, you know, just regular boxing. You know, there's some old guy fights. You know, he has a heavyweight. You can stick around for a little bit longer. But I got to tell you what, though. Lambert is good on the mic. He is a smart mouth, just mean heel. And he's kind of fun to listen to. Now, what the things that Chris Jericho said about Paige VanZant, those wouldn't fly in a lot of places.
But remember that, I mean, Chris Jericho has a history of saying things like that to women.
He does.
Remember Stephanie McMahon?
Oh, I remember. Yes. And we're not going to go there.
No, we're not.
But yeah, it was very much along those veins. Now, Luke Rockhold is out of his comeback fight at UFC 268 against Sean Strickland. What's up with that?
Yeah, so Luke announced last week that he's got a herniated disc in his back and he was forced to withdraw from his upcoming fight. This is actually a pretty good matchup. You think, you know, Strickland had won 5 in a row. His latest win was a decision against Uriah Hall. That was back in July. This would have been obviously a high-profile fight for Sean Strickland. You know, Luke Rockhold, a former champion, it's a big name. You beat someone like that, that propels you. That gets you closer to a title fight. Obviously, that's what he wants to do. Bilal Muhammad has someone has stepped up. He said, you know, he said he has issues with him, that in the past Sean had said some negative things about Palestine, which, you know, hearing the things that Sean Strickland has said doesn't surprise me that he would say stuff like that. Says that he would like to fight him. He would like to he's got a personal problem with him. Strickland says he wants to fight in January on the California card. Gilbert Burns also offered to move up to middleweight to fight him. So that's kind of interesting as well.
And it seems people are kind of coming out of the woodworks. Maybe they think Strickland's kind of an easy out.
Yeah, or maybe they just they like the matchup and they know that he's you know, he's someone that's getting, you know, some popularity right now. Eddie, yeah, I actually have a what up with that for you.
All right.
Colorado has now explored open scoring and allowing promotions to use that when they're there. What's up with that?
Two states down, 48 to go, Jordan. So right now it's what, just Kansas and Colorado? Sounds like an old Big 12 matchup. But Colorado's just giving promotions the option of using open scoring. So it's not like it's something that's set in stone. It's not going to happen all the time. But, man, it needs to happen. Fight Sports is the only place where no one knows a score until it's over. And that is stupid. I mean, just look, last week it was Mikey Garcia had a boxing match. And everyone's talking about how lackluster he was. Yeah, he thought he was winning. Then all of a sudden comes out, oh, he loses a majority decision. Because he wasn't fighting at a normal pace because he thought he was winning the match. Look at Dominic Reyes.
You're a guy, yeah. I remember that.
He would be the light heavyweight champion if he knew that the fight was tied going into the fifth round.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that you brought up Dominic Reyes, Eddie. Just because your vantage point from that second row was probably a little bit different from my vantage point on the first row. So I don't know. Either way. So
how did you score it?
Well, I don't know. Hey, Eddie, quickly, I don't think I agree with you on that one. I just wanted to get my dig in. Eddie, I don't think the UFC.
I can see through your hair gel.
That's true. I don't think the UFC is probably going to act on this. If they go to Colorado, they don't have to use it. And so I don't see them giving up that control or changing something away from the unified rules. Eddie.
Oh, no, it makes too much sense.
Yeah. Let me go real quickly. Last week, in some new fights, we mentioned that Jorge Masvidal versus Leon Edwards was going to happen. It's now official. UFC 269, same card as Dustin Poirier versus Charles Oliveira.
Can we get that fight sponsored by Popeyes?
Ooh, that would be interesting. Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas is on the fight card as well. Then Kai Kara France versus Cody Garbrandt and Sean O'Malley versus Rowland Paiva. Round out that main card on the prelims. You got Santiago Ponzinibbio versus Jeff Neal and Pedro Munhoz versus Dominic Cruz. So, Eddie, that is new fights. That's what's up with that, guys. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time, hey. Ooh. What's up with that? What's up with that?
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. Eddie Cross, Texas football, taking a much-deserved break. Maybe they can reshuffle.
My ulcer is taking a
work on
break.
A few Texas things. So there's no football for the Texas Longhorns this weekend. BYU travels to Washington State. I'm pretty sure our listeners are really, they like that dynamic. They're like, oh, you know what? Not Texas. Let me just find out about BYU. They're going to be in the Big 12 soon, so you need to know. You need to know about BYU and who they're playing. So that's why I bring that that fact, you know, every week when I bring back this section.
Yeah, and Washington State just fired their coach.
Well, that's
so you might get a free one there.
Oh, we better get a free one. But there is fights. We've got UFC Las Vegas 41. With actually a really good main event. We'll get back to that in a second. Bellator 269. Is Bellator on Friday, Eddie, or is Bellator on Saturday this week? Why don't you look that up while we're talking about that. We've got Fedor Emelianenko versus Timothy Johnson. We were kind of surprised when Timothy Johnson was named as Fedor's fight. This is essentially most likely going to be the final fight for Bellator for Fedor in Bellator in Moscow. Right, so it sounds like he does have one more fight after this.
He's got one more,
but I don't expect
one more on his contract.
But I think this is like his farewell fight to Russia.
Oh yeah,
I don't expect him to fight that last fight in Bellator in Russia as well. Timothy Johnson just lost, you know, he just lost to Valentin Moldavsky for the interim heavyweight title. So it's surprising that they would put a guy who's just a title contender fighting against Fedor, because you would want a squash match if it was my idea.
So some people think, you know, you think Tim Johnson, you don't think much of him because the last time you saw him, he was losing. But he is the number two ranked heavyweight, I think, in Bellator. And he just beat, Tyrell Fortune, Matt Mitrione, Czech Congo. He was on a three-fight winning streak before he lost for the interim title. So it's not quite a squash match. But people aren't giving Timothy Johnson the respect he probably deserves in this matchup.
Yeah, no, I agree. So this is on this October 23rd. What day is October 23rd, Eddie? Is that
a Saturday?
Okay, so it is Saturday. In the co-main event, you got Vitaly Minnikov. Vitaly Minnikov, I think he's the former Bellator heavyweight world champion. He's actually fighting. He defeated Timothy Johnson back in his last fight. That was back in 2019, so he hasn't fought since then. Has a win over Timothy Johnson. He is going to be fighting Saeed Soma. Usman Nurmagomedov fighting on the card as well.
Yeah, I think that was also supposed to be Tyrell Fortune in that co-main event, but he had to pull out.
Okay, well. All right, so let's jump over, Eddie. Yeah. UFC Las Vegas 41. Main event, angry Marvin Vettori versus Paulo Costa. Both guys here coming off of losses to the champion at middleweight, Israel Adesanya. You know, this is actually, I love the matchmaking here. These are guys that puts them right back in the mix. I don't expect that we're going to see, you know, let's say Marvin Vettori gets the win here. I don't expect that, you know, they're going to throw Marvin back in there for a third time right away against Israel Adesanya. Paulo Costa ranked second, Marvin Vettori ranked fifth. But this is a get right fight for one of these guys and a good opportunity.
Yeah, it really is. And like I said, this should be a fun fight. You know, Robert Whittaker is next up for Israel Adesanya. We don't have a date for that yet. And you thought it was going to be one of those great Oceania cards, but Adesanya doesn't want to fight New Zealand anymore. Maybe it happens in Australia. Who knows? Maybe it'll just be in Vegas. But this one, though, it's kind of surprising that they put it together so easily. This one's kind of quick. Like I said, it's kind of a get-right fight. Vettori just lost. Costa, his last fight was against a champ.
But it was a while ago,
You wouldn't think they'd be matched up that quickly against each other. But the winner does have he's got some kind of a claim to the next spot in line. I mean, look at the welterweight division. It only took Colby one fight to get back to the title shot.
That's true. Hey, we got about a minute left, Eddie. Let's go boxing. Tell me what I need to know about this weekend.
Friday night on ESPN+, the inaugural Bridgerweight title. That's the one between cruiserweight and heavyweight that the WBC just came up with. I think the max is like 224 pounds. They're holding their inaugural title fight. It's Oscar Rivas versus Ryan Rosicky. And this is mostly important because I think the Bridgerweight spot would be a good spot for Deontay Wilder instead of fighting super heavyweights at like 280, fighting guys more his size at 224, 225, or maybe even Mike Tyson instead of trying to fight, you know, super heavyweights. Could drop the Bridgerweight. Then Saturday, ESPN and ESPN Plus, Jamel Herring is defending his WBO junior lightweight title against Shakur Stevenson, which is by itself is a great fight, but also on the card is Nico Ali Walsh, Muhammad Ali's grandson, making his second pro fight.
Well, that's great. Well, guys, stay tuned. You got Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, Stu Myrick, Justin Simmons coming up next. We are proud to be the MMA show of Texas. Tell your friends. Make sure you like and subscribe. You can follow us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, and follow us right here at 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, 101.9 FM, AM 1260. Guys, we will see you next week.
Hey, be safe, get vaccinated, stay positive, and love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.